Hebrews chapter 9. Series on atonement. This is message number 3. The title of this message is Perfect Atonement. And we're going to be looking Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 28. So the rest of this chapter. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet, wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. So usually when there is some big event or show or something that's going to happen, there's a lot of buildup ahead of time. We get announcements, we get ads, we get trailers sometimes, or previews and things like this that come out in advance and want to get everybody excited. And sometimes the hype that we experience, the buildup, leads to disappointment when the event fails to deliver. It fails to meet up to those expectations that were created. Now sometimes, though, the event itself is actually better than what was anticipated. Of course, that is certainly much enjoyable. Now, regardless of how satisfying or disappointing that the actual event may be, we can all agree that the trailers, the previews, the upfront promotions, they're not the event itself, but rather they're just sort of sneak peeks of what is coming. And that's sort of like the way that the Old Covenant is a preview of the New Covenant. The Old Covenant announces and it foreshadows the New Covenant, but it's not the same as the New Covenant. They're not equal. And in this case, the New Covenant is far better than the Old, and that, of course, is the central point in the book of Hebrews as a whole. The substance is far greater than the shadow. The substance, of course, being Christ and all the realities of what he accomplished, the shadow being the Old Covenant and all of those services and ordinances and laws and such that merely foreshadowed that coming reality. Well, in the previous message, we looked at the first part of chapter number 9 and the imperfect atonement of the Old Covenant. Now, the biblical concept of atonement is a complete and everlasting reconciliation with God, which requires a complete and everlasting covering of sins. And when I say imperfect atonement, I'm referring to the fact that the Old Covenant atonement failed to accomplish actual atonement. And the writer of Hebrews gave us five shortcomings of that imperfect atonement that we looked at in the previous message. There's an imperfect covenant. There's an imperfect tabernacle. There's an imperfect priesthood. There's an imperfect access. And there's imperfect sacrifices in the Old Covenant. Now, the atonement wasn't imperfect because it failed to do what it was designed to do. That's not the reason we say that it was weak or that it was imperfect. No, the Old Covenant atonement did exactly what it was designed to do, which was to not to make actual atonement for sins, but to foreshadow the true atonement for sins. It also demonstrates how sinful, how unholy, how separate from God we are as sinners. I mean, think as we looked at Leviticus chapter 16, and that's just one part. That's just the Day of Atonement on Leviticus chapter 16. And we looked at all of that ceremony and all that rites and ritual that was gone through just to approach into the Holy of Holies, only to find out that that's not even the real Holy of Holies. It was just a copy that was made by Moses according to the pattern that God gave him for the people to enter in so that the real Holy of Holies would be foreshadowed on the earth. Now, the law is also very successful in condemning men and women for their sins. As Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, it's that the law gives the knowledge of sin, and it also shuts all mouths before God. In other words, we have no defense. We have no justification for our sins before God of ourselves. And of course, the law is very successful at this because that is what it was designed to do. So this brings us now to consider the perfect atonement, the true atonement, the atonement that actually accomplishes reconciliation of sinners to God. Now, verse 12 that we read here says that Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us. It's actually been accomplished through the work of Christ. So he has succeeded. So the writer of Hebrews here in the latter part of chapter number 9 also gives us five successes of the perfect atonement. That's what we want to consider in this message. And so they are, number one, a better covenant. Number two, a better tabernacle. Number three, a better priesthood. Number four, better access. And number five, better sacrifices. So five successes of the new covenant atonement. The first one is that there is, in fact, a better covenant. Look at verses 15 to 23. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. And we get this word testament here in Hebrews 9, and it is the word for covenant. It's synonymous with covenant. He's talking about New Covenant and Old Covenant, or Second and First and so on, but he's talking about the New Covenant. He's the mediator of the New Testament that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament or First Covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens, that refers to the Old Covenant tabernacle and furnishings and so on, the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, that's the reality, with better sacrifices than these. So the Old Covenant, as has already been mentioned in the book of Hebrews refers to that covenant that God made with Israel after he brought them up out of Egypt. I believe that is what that's stated there in chapter number 8. After he had brought them up out of Egypt, there at Mount Sinai, as he communed with Moses and he gave this covenant to Moses and to all of the people of Israel. And of course, they agreed to the covenant, and of course, they broke that covenant and suffered consequences for that. That's the first covenant. That's the old covenant that is being referred to. Now, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, was imperfect because it could not bring reconciliation with God. And because of this, there is a new covenant. And that's what we see listed here. Jesus Christ is referred to as the mediator of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning there at verse number 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, that's speaking of Christ, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, better than the old covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So the old covenant, we learn, was given. It had a purpose to fulfill. It fulfilled that purpose. It was in force for a time. But it was actually through the new covenant that redemption was going to actually be accomplished for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And not them alone, as we find out, as those others, all the families of the earth in Abraham, when we go back to the Abrahamic covenant, they're all going to be reconciled in this same way, through the new covenant and not through the old. So the new covenant is a better covenant. One of the reasons why is because it's not bound by the imperfect elements of the old. All of these laws, these fleshly ordinances that were spoken of, the dietary laws and all these various things, the rites and the ceremonial washings and all these various offerings and all of these things, the tabernacle, the priesthood, all of these things are within the old covenant. And they are all imperfect, as we looked at in the previous message. And so the old covenant then is necessarily an imperfect covenant, but the new is not bound by those imperfect elements. So here in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 to 22, If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. In other words, the old covenant had a priesthood. That priesthood was imperfect. That priesthood was unable to actually mediate reconciliation between God and man. So there needs to be a new priesthood, and that new priesthood can't be according to the old covenant. It must be of the new covenant. That's what the writer is talking about here. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord, speaking of Jesus Christ, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So there's nothing in the law, there's nothing in the old covenant about the priesthood of Judah, but that is where Jesus came from. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment. Again, not after the old covenant, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So the new covenant is a better covenant. It is a perfect covenant because it is not bound to the imperfect elements that the old covenant was bound to. The old covenant then necessarily gives way to the new. It is fulfilled and it is set aside. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And then in verses 16 to 18, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We will look at sacrifices in a moment. So the second is a better tabernacle. The second perfection of the new covenant atonement is a better tabernacle. So here in Hebrews 9, we look at verses 11 and 12. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And if we go down to verses 21 to 24, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, now this is the earthly tabernacle by Moses that's being spoken of here, and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And there he's talking about the sanctifying of the tabernacle and the utensils and the furniture, and almost all things were purged by blood, meaning almost all things were sprinkled by blood to be consecrated to that service. Some of them were washed or what have you. But he goes on, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. He's talking about the blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the old covenant had an earthly tabernacle that was made with the hands of men, and it was only a copy, and it was only a symbol of the true heavenly tabernacle. It was made by men. It was bound to the earth. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2 says of Christ that he's a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. In other words, no matter how ornate the tabernacle was, no matter how well the high priest performed his service, when he entered into the Holy of Holies, he only entered into a man-made copy that God had told and instructed Moses and gave him the pattern to build. In other words, that priest, that mortal, sinful priest that offered for himself first, had no way to take that blood, and it was imperfect because it was of bulls and calves, and he had no way to take that blood and to present it in heaven before God. He could not do that. All he could do was enter into an earthly tabernacle. But it says here that Jesus Christ entered into the holy place, not that one made with hands, not that earthly copy, but he entered into the heavens itself to appear before God with the blood. And again, not the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. The third is a better priesthood. We look again, verses 11 and 12. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 15 says, and for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the old covenant priests were taken from among sinful men who were also subject to death, and their priesthood only lasted as long as their lives lasted. But the new covenant priesthood is a better priesthood because it is a sinless priesthood and it is an everlasting priesthood. So if we look at Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, it's right at the end there. We'll look down through verse 10 of chapter 5. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Notice that, without sin. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he endured the weakness of human flesh. He was made like one of us, and he endured the weakness of the human flesh. He endured all of the temptations, all of the ways in which we are tempted. However, he endured those temptations without sin. Never did he give in to the temptation to sin, without sin. So he goes on to say, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the priesthood of Melchizedek comes out in chapter number 7, so if you would begin reading there around chapter 7, verse 11, and go through chapter 8, and verse number 6, you read all these things about Melchizedek, which the writer of Hebrews even says, there's more things to say about Melchizedek that you're too dull of hearing to be able to handle. And so he did not get into all of those things. That is a little more complex, and we're not going to go through all of that, but the point is that the Melchizedekian priesthood is a priesthood that is outside of the Old Covenant. It is outside of the Aaronic priesthood. It is outside of the Levitical priesthood. And it is also an everlasting priesthood. It's not a priesthood that lasts as long as the high priest lives and then passes on to another. So in this way, the New Covenant has a better priesthood because it has a Melchizedekan priesthood and not the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood. Fourthly, in the new covenant, there is better access to God. So back in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And if we read verses 23 to 25, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others." So the old covenant did not actually provide access into God's presence. The old covenant had the tabernacle, which was the copy that was on earth. It had the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, separated by the veil. And one day a year, the high priest would go in after having gone through all of the proper ceremony, and the smoke would have to fill the room there in the Holy of Holies and cover the mercy seat. And he would enter in and he would sprinkle the blood, and then he would depart. Of course, he would go in more than once on that Day of Atonement, but that one day a year was the only day that he could go in. And only the high priest, out of all of Israel, only the one, the high priest, could enter in on that one day out of the year. And of course, we saw earlier in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 8 how that the writer of Hebrews tells us that, the Spirit is telling us here that that way was not clear. It was not manifested. It was not explained what that access into the presence of God would be, but the old covenant did not grant it. So the old covenant did not provide that access, but the new covenant gives us access to God, a better access. So we go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19 and 20. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So the high priest of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, has entered within the veil, not within the earthly veil, in the earthly copy, the earthly tabernacle, but in the heavenly, has entered within the veil, serves as high priest forever, making intercession for the people of God after the order of Melchizedek and not after Aaron. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, this is what is accomplished in the new covenant, access to God. You realize that we don't have to come to an earthly tabernacle and an earthly priest and bring earthly sacrifices and offerings in order to have that priest make those offerings and intercede for us between us and God. We don't do any of that because the way is open. The veil is taken away through Jesus Christ. So we have access, as the writer of Hebrews says, to go boldly to the very throne of grace. That we pray directly to God. That we commune directly with Him. And no, we don't see Him here. We're not in His presence. We're not ushered up into heaven to stand before Him. We have access to speak with Him directly. And one day, we will indeed stand in the very presence of God, all because of what was accomplished by Jesus Christ in the new covenant. That's something the old covenant could never provide. Through the old covenant, they could not even retain the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God in the earthly copy of the tabernacle. Because of their transgression, they couldn't keep the old covenant. They could not retain that presence of God. Ichabod, he departed. The glory has departed. But in the new covenant, the glory remains. And we have access, real access, to the presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then fifthly, is a better sacrifice. So again, verses 12 to 15. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then, of course, we go again to Hebrews here in chapter 9, verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, or the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. A better sacrifice. The sacrifices of the old covenant were animal sacrifices, bulls and goats and lambs and rams and so on, and birds and all of these various things, and they were insufficient to actually cover sins. Animals, we are different, we are distinct, we are separate from the animals. There's no real atonement that can be had. There's no real propitiation that can be made with the blood of bulls and goats. And so in the new covenant, there is a better sacrifice, and in fact, there is one sacrifice. Not the many sacrifices and the yearly sacrifices repeated over and over again, but there is one sacrifice once for all. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, speaking of Christ, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. So as the high priest under the old covenant would have to make daily sacrifices in order to for their own sins, in order to even serve as priests for the people, but not so under the new covenant with Jesus Christ. He offered up himself as a sacrifice, and he did it once. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 14. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. In other words, here he's talking about under the old covenant. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to serve as a priest like an old covenant priest. He didn't come to make a sacrifice of a lamb or a ram or a goat or a bull or anything else. He came to offer himself. He said, sacrifices and offerings you had no pleasure in. In other words, the blood of bulls and of goats did not satisfy and appease the wrath of God. And so he says, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Do you realize that the priests and the high priest, as they served in the tabernacle, they did not sit down. The high priest did not sit down in the Holy of Holies. He didn't take a seat. Why? Because his work wasn't finished. It was never finished. He had to repeat it year after year after year. Jesus is the only high priest that has ever made a sacrifice one time and then sat down at the right hand in the presence of God, because his sacrifice actually accomplished atonement for his people. He goes on to say, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus is not crucified. He's not sacrificed over and over and over and over again. It is not repeated. It is done once and once for all. It is a better sacrifice than that of the old covenant. So Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the high priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the one that entered into the holy place in heaven before God to offer his blood and intercede for all his people. He has accomplished the perfect atonement. And everyone who trusts in him and repents of their sins is reconciled to God completely and everlastingly through Christ, through his priesthood, through his sacrifice, through the new and better covenant. And so, in the last message of this series, we want to consider more particularly the sacrifice that makes atonement.